It's a massive honour. When I started playing netball for England, I never thought that I would have the privilege of leading an England team.
We're really excited to have another pinnacle event in the UK for our sport, and our sport's only going to grow from having it on our home turf.
We want to be playing on the world stage, and we want to be playing against the world's best, so we'll go in without any fear and really, really looking forward to that battle.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
It's the Netball Show with Mizuno, and we're here for the Netball World Cup. I'm Sasha Shipway, and as the world's best are in Liverpool, so are we, to give you all of the coverage.
Thanks, Sasha. I'm Andy. Day one and the Netball World Cup 2019 in Liverpool is finally here. As well as all the reaction from the day's games, we're going to have your chance to hear some of our favourite Netball Show interviews since we started back in 2017. And we've also got daily updates from around the tournament itself. Loads going on in the fan village. You can watch the games on the big screen, meet Jude, and players will be making guest appearances there as well. But before we start, a bit of news. Jeeva's book signing at Waterstones next Tuesday has had to be cancelled. Shall we get this underway?
Hello, it's Nat Panagari.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
Woo!
Netball World Cup in Liverpool. I won't ever get sick of saying Netball World Cup in Liverpool. Starting things as we mean to go on, Gary Burgess, what's it been like for you the past 24 hours?
Oh, it's amazing. Just to walk around the city and see all of the livery and everything like that. If it's as good as this before it's even started, I can only dream about what it's going to get like. Just looking here across at the big wheel here with all of the Netball branding on it, it's just absolutely fantastic.
Great news for you as well, because one lucky day, it'll be your 100th umpiring cap.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Hopefully if I umpire every day for the first 4 days, it'll come on Monday, but you never can count your chickens. You're only guaranteed one game, and if you're not good on that, you might not get another one. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that I do get to the magic 100.
Massively established career. Recent article maybe said you had a bit of chew in the past.
A bit of
criticism unnecessary, should we say?
Yeah, I think you know, sports in itself, sports referees and umpires in themselves always become a target. You know, sometimes a decision that's 100% correct is 100% unpopular. You know, it doesn't make it wrong, but there are always people that will criticise and question umpires. I just don't like it when it becomes personal, because, you know, what you decide to do on a field or off a field, and it's the same for the players. Some of the players have had some really horrendous personal stuff pointing at them, you know, particularly Tamsin Greenway, who I've spoken to about this at length. You know, it's just unnecessary. Just because you are or you aren't good or not good at something doesn't mean to say that they have a right to go after you personally.
We saw examples like that in the recent Women's World Cup as well, the standard of their officials. So from our point at least, what would be the standard like in the English game?
Well, I think, you know, we're really good. We've got a really good and consistent pool of umpires. We've got four umpires here, which is the biggest delegation that we've ever sent or ever had selected, because it's a selection, you know, to a World Cup. You know, there was a time before when England didn't have any international umpires. So, we're there, we're credible on the world scene, and, you know, we can bring as much to the game as our colleagues from other countries.
And how about the colleagues in other countries? Are there a similar kind of standard to us?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is a selection for umpires to come to a World Cup, so you have to be good. You know, there's no room for people to be developing at a World Cup. You have to come here and you need to be good, and you need to be hot to trot from game one. There's no development. We have a team of coaches which will help us to grow from the starting points that we've got in the tournament, so that everybody continues to develop and continues to look at their practice and the way in which they interact in the game. But, you know, this is the World Cup. You've got to have the best umpires in the world here.
Really nice to see as well you partnered up with Acme.
Yeah.
Mr. Golden Whistle himself.
Oh, I know, isn't it? It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, listen, I always tell umpires, you know, you should be seen, heard, but not remembered. So potentially having a gold whistle is something that goes against that. But I'm proud of my achievements, and it was given to me on my 50th cap. And, you know, just off the cuff, I decided that I might use it one day. And some people might think it's a bit showy, but I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. And it shows the achievements that I've had over the last 10 years.
Have they got something planned, a platinum one for number
of? Do you know 100? What? It's something that you said, it's something not that other people have said. I think we'll just stick with it. We might have a special whistle for my 100th game, but you know, I think sometimes a change is as good as a rest, so we'll see how that pans out.
Important to have your own whistling style, whistling panache, shall we say. Have you got any on your week?
I have, yeah. I've got one in my pocket. I've always got one. I think they've got a gold one in my pocket. But
are we having the whistle off or whatever it's called?
No, okay. Yeah, absolutely. No, I've got it in my pocket. Nice little job here. But I mean, I think, you know, it's the biggest tool in our trade, really, to be honest with you. And you know, Acme have got, I think they've got the market on this. Everyone that I know has got an Acme Thunder finger whistle to umpire netball. And I think that's, you know, never let us down yet.
Good solid product and nice reliable.
Yeah absolutely. Always good. I'll probably get shot by Acme for saying this, but I always find they go well through the dishwasher and come out really shiny. And I've said this once before, that the pee that's in the whistle, if it's moist, it definitely works better than if it gets dried out and stuffed in your kit bag.
Everybody's going to say, oh well, yeah, you'd be in charge of that game or in charge of this game, but have you any expectations of this tournament?
No, I don't have any expectations at all. I just I think the best thing that any umpire can do is to strive to be the best that they can be, because sometimes you can't get appointed to games because of neutrality, and but ultimately if you do the best that you possibly can, you're always going to be happy whatever your game that you get. That might be the 15th 16th playoff, which is often as contentious and as well contested as the final often is. So I think it's about respect for the players and taking every game as it comes and umpiring every game as if it is as important as a World Cup final, because it's important for them.
Yeah, definitely. And just a word on the fact that Scotland and Northern Ireland here as well.
Absolutely, and that's a really good example of a game that you know, there's really going to be closely contested. You know, you look at places like the African nations with Malawi and Uganda, those games are going to be really well contested, and certainly the history between those two teams and other teams is as rife as that between Australia and New Zealand or England and Jamaica, as it's always been for the last however many years. But I think this World Cup is going to be massively open
and a great chance to meet with other officials from different nations as well,
and yeah,
have
yeah,
a good old chat.
Absolutely. I mean, we the friendships that we developed, I mean, I've been friends with Josh since 2009 when we first met in the Cook Islands, so you know, we are a tight bunch. We've got lots of friends in the camp, and you know, we know that these friendships will continue long after we've stepped off the court. So yeah, it's great to get the band back together.
Gary, thanks for your time, and no doubt we'll speak after a number 100.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andy. Cheers.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game. I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements. After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth. That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
Australia started their campaign with a win, 88-24 over Northern Ireland. The important question I asked Dan first was whether or not Caroline was okay.
Yeah, she's okay. Obviously a massive hit and a massive fall. And, you know, heart goes in your mouth when you see a player of, I guess, her importance to our whole World Cup campaign. But, you know, she's been assessed by the medical team and will continue to be assessed over the next couple of moments. But I think everything should be okay, hopefully. But we'll just have to wait and see.
What about that difference between meeting them in the Com Games and then the game we saw today?
Well, I guess irrelevant, to be honest, because two very different teams. You know, there's been a lot of change in the Northern Ireland team from Com games to now, and we had a lot of players out that have never played against the Australian Diamonds at senior level before, so, and combinations that have never played together in more than four test matches in our build-up. So very new, very different. But the biggest thing we wanted to take out of today was the learnings and an opportunity for those players who don't get the opportunity to play against players of that calibre or professional athletes, and to see what they could take out of it and what they could learn about themselves and the game. And if they could take a few learnings today, then we're heading in the right direction.
And you'd be happy with what you saw?
In parts, yes, but overall, no. No one wants to lose by that much. And I thought, although the Diamonds were far better in all areas of the court and put us under enormous pressure, there were things we were doing too that made the pressure worse. So I think we produced some really nice passages of play when we let the ball go. We opened up spaces, and there are obviously things we've been working on and talking about for a long time. But, you know, when you don't have that experience in the moment to be able to withstand the onslaught, it's a little bit tougher. So happy with some parts, more so happy, I guess, with individuals and their key learnings throughout the game. But, yeah, certainly wanted more goals on the board and less goals against us. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not about beating the Diamonds. It's about us being really prepared for the next 2 days.
Good. And you, well prepared, everything's going all right, and just glad you got that game out of the way.
I think so. I think we're managing a few injuries, which is always difficult, and you know, some players that are new to this level, so we need to manage their preparation and how they approach it all. But all in all, I think really glad to get Diamonds first up, get it out of the way. Every player's now been on court, and really important to tackle the next couple of days.
Support was good as well. Always good to see in an arena like this.
Look, I think so. We'd love as much home support as we possibly can. We've got some big games coming up, and we know those African nations and Sri Lanka and whatnot will be having some great support as well. So the more for the Northern Irish, the better.
Diamonds head coach Lisa Alexander told us what she made of the game.
You know, I think it was actually really great playing Northern Ireland first, because we kind of had an idea of how they were going to play, you know, obviously being coached by Dan, and, you know, they've got, you know, really good skills and, you know, fitness, and so we were, ready for a great game, and they certainly brought it to us in different patches, and we weren't perfect, but I was very pleased with the combination.
Defence was particularly smothering too. I must be really pleased with that.
Yes, I was, but I would have liked more ball on centre passes, so, you know, coach is never happy. But yeah, no, it was a good start, but we've got more work to do.
In transition into attack in particularly, I mean, you're just flying.
Yeah, well, we've been working on that pass and cut, but we've got to be less predictable. I think, you know, the wing defence for Northern Ireland picked that a couple of times, and so we'll talk about those finer details. We can't get so predictable that the opposition are going to unpick us during the week, so we need to have some alternatives up our sleeve as well. But what I really liked was the ability for us to back up. I thought both Courtney and Sarah did that extremely well, backing up in attack too. And, you know, Courtney's got a lethal pass on her when she can put it out there.
And Sarah had a particularly fine debut too. You must have been thrilled.
Yeah, she was a little bit nervous at the start, but once she got into the hang of it, and lots of great talk from Joe and also Jamie Lee down there, they know they're a unit together. It's not just about one outs, but I think she won some really good individual ball as well, and that would have given her great confidence. And, you know, she didn't look like she didn't belong. It was great.
And there was a debut for Sarah Clough.
During the national anthem, I got the goosebumps like I thought I would, and yeah, it was such an incredible experience to be out there in the green and gold. It's always been a dream of mine, and to actually get that 177 is pretty special.
What was the advice given to you before you went out?
I think for me it's just sticking to routine and not doing anything outside of the box, because that's when I start to get nervous. So I think, yeah, just sticking to the basics and sticking to key things for me.
So defensively, the Diamonds took 8 intercepts. You took 4 of those. How proud are you of that?
Oh, it didn't feel like that, but I guess, yeah, it's just credit to the girls all the way down the court. I think transition has been an area for us that we've been working on, and, yeah, it's great that it's paid off, and, yeah, I'm super stoked that I was able to get those 4 intercepts in my debut. It's pretty cool.
And also, speaking defensively, last time that the Diamonds came up against Northern Ireland, they scored 29 goals, Northern Ireland did.
Yeah.
This time around it was 26. So is that something that you defensively as a unit are quite proud of? You're keeping that score lower?
Yeah, definitely. I think we always went out with a goal of keeping them under a certain amount, and I think we achieved that today, which was really good to keep that the motivation and that incentive to getting all the ball that we can. And it's really great that the girls put the pressure out, and we managed to get that score.
And looking ahead to tomorrow, what do you think you guys need to work on?
Just keep building on those connections and relationships on court. I think, yeah, obviously, there's still lots of areas that we can work on, and hopefully we can just keep building throughout this competition. It's only day one, and it's going to be a long 10 days, so, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just quickly, obviously your first experience here at this World Cup in Liverpool, what did you make of the crowd, the performance as well?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's a bit interesting with the two-court scenario. I think having all the Zimbabwe and Sri Lanka next door were very loud, and I saw a lot of green and gold out in the crowd, and that was really special to see some familiar faces, and yeah, that was really special.
And how much confidence will that give you for the rest of the tournament?
Definitely, I think having debuted now, I think that gives me a lot of confidence leading on to the next few games, and yeah, hopefully I did right.
Time now to get the thoughts of Kate Cornish, freelance writer based in Australia and self-confessed netball nerd. What did she think of Australia v Northern Ireland?
Thank you to The Netball Show for having me. I'm Kate Cornish, a self-confessed netball nerd from Australia, here with my Aussie recap of the Diamonds and Northern Ireland game. Aussies know what a great coach Dan Ryan is. He's now the coach of Northern Ireland, and to finish within the top six, which is their aim, they've got some work to do after today's match. As expected, Australia were ruthless in their round one clash. So ruthless that it was a full 10 minutes before Northern Ireland managed to get a goal on the scoreboard. Lisa Alexander ran her starting seven for the first two quarters and gave Sarah Clough her Diamonds debut. In the last two quarters, Alexander made wholesale changes to every third, ensuring that all her Diamonds took the court. Northern Ireland had an injury scare in the third quarter with their captain, Carolyn O'Hanlon, taking a really sickening fall. She was taken from the court, but she's incredibly tough, so I'm hopeful that it won't be the last that we see of her. It would be a huge blow to Northern Ireland's top six hopes if she was out for the remainder of the World Cup. And on a personal note for her, she's on track to play her 100th international test cap, hitting 97 today. She is an incredibly impressive athlete, and I wish her a speedy recovery and hope that we see her back on court really soon. While the score was what you would call a blowout, it finished up being 88-24. These really are the sort of games that I think Northern Ireland have to play, and I'm sure that with Dan Ryan at the helm now, that there will be a lot that they learn and put into practice throughout this World Cup. They notched up a plethora of turnovers that they will have to address. It ended up being 50 turnovers to Northern Ireland, and Australia had 20. Their shooting stats as well sat at 60%, which is just too low for World Cup standards if you want to be competitive. And finished on only 40 attempts, which really speaks to the impressive defence that Australia had out on court. The Diamonds were ruthless. They really looked seamless in attack and really balanced throughout court. And you can see that they've worked really hard in their combinations, even in the last week. Their entry to the circle seemed a lot crisper. Kelsey Brown, if it's even possible, looked quicker than she has in the Suncorp Super Netball. And Caitlin Bassett was showing no signs of a concussion hangover. Sarah Clough and Joe Weston had four intercepts each, and Clough was really impressive in her debut for the Diamonds. They've made it clear, the Diamonds, what their intentions are for this World Cup with that really dominant round one performance. And the scary thing is with the Diamonds that it doesn't matter which seven are on court, their processes and structures remain the same. They are incredibly solid. I actually can't wait for the Roses match later today, because for me, the Roses and the Diamonds are the ones to beat in this World Cup.
So Australia got off to a strong start. Next we can hear from Fran Connolly from England Netball. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen her and Jude in the same place at the same time yet. Fran told us more about the recent Parliament Netball Day.
Fran Connolly, Netball World Cup in Liverpool. How many times have you said it?
Oh, I keep having to pinch myself. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe it's real, and I can't believe it's really happening now. It's fantastic, fantastic.
Even the build-up to it as well, everybody was really anticipating something, and yeah. It's just, having something locally and the fact it's in Liverpool and England Netball's involvement as well.
It's just been fantastic. I think the media, the country has really got behind netball since the Com Games last year, and it's built in momentum continuously over that kind of 12-month, 18-month period to a point where, yeah, it's actually happening. It's huge. Out there on Piazza, right outside the arena, it's crazy. It's like a carnival atmosphere outside. People are dancing, people are singing, people are having picnics, and this is what we dreamt of. This is when we've been planning this event, this is what the atmosphere we wanted to create, and we kind of didn't let ourselves believe it was possible, but it is, and here we are. Brilliant.
And it's only a few days in as well.
I know, can you tell I'm excited?
I thought it was worth looking at the Parliamentary Netball Day, which happened recently.
It did, yeah, it happened just a couple of days ago. It seems like ages ago now we're up here, but it actually only happened on Wednesday. So this was an event that we put on as part of our biggest Summer of Netball, this initiative to get as much netball going on across the country as possible between June and August this year. And we kind of put the call to action out from any organisation to stage some netball, and we had a great uptake from ministers, from parliamentarians that actually said, we want to get on a court, we fancy trying our hands at netball. And there were some people that had played previously, including the sports minister Minns Davis, and Tracy Crouch, the ex-sports minister, that drove it forward. So on Wednesday, right outside the House of Commons, we had a pop-up netball court. We had the inaugural MPs netball tournament with teams from New Zealand, from Australia and from Britain, and we played netball, and it was brilliant. It was huge. Australia and New Zealand took it quite seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, our British MPs were probably more about the fun and the participation. Some hadn't got on court for quite some years. But New Zealand and Australia took it really seriously. It actually came down to a draw in the match between them. And New Zealand won the tournament on goal difference, thanks to some fantastic shooting. But just to have those types of people on court showing that netball can be played by women from across the world, of all ages, all abilities, all shapes and sizes, really captured the essence of what the big Summer of Netball is about. So it's a great event for us.
That place will be used to having obstruction calls anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, they actually joked that, you know, the only useful things that happen on there are protests, and they wanted to do something good and show women getting active, and that's exactly what we did. So it's great to kind of change what spaces are about, and that's what our Netball Anywhere Court is all about. We take it around the country, we put it in some obscure locations, and we show people that haven't usually seen netball as a sport that it's a really good sport and anyone can be involved.
George Fisher came down as well and supported it.
She did. She was absolutely fantastic. And we actually had to sneak her on to be part of the British team because after 10 minutes, we hadn't scored a goal. So I said, do you mind if we sneak on a ringer here? And she was great. She entered into the spirit of it. And she actually tweeted later that day that she had such a great day. She's thinking about being an MP in the future.
I dread to think, George. I really do dread to think she'll load out of this. But it's just about getting the court out there, getting more people involved with the biggest Summer of Netball, which is taking place the Monday after the final.
Yeah, so the biggest Summer of Netball campaign is happening all the way through the summer. But we thought, we knew from Com Games last year, people want to purchase stuff instantly. So as soon as that Helen Halsby golden goal went through the net, people wanted to play netball and they got on their phones and they wanted to have a single click and find it. So we want to recreate that. So this year, hopefully, after the Vitality Roses win that gold again and do the double, come on! people can go on their phones, they can put in their postcode, and the day after the World Cup, we're holding the biggest Netball Open Day. There are 200 sessions in our Session Finder happening across the country from people of all ages, from B netball to walking netballers, and they can find a session local to them. In that week after the World Cup, there's actually 500 sessions in total.
Already?
New sessions going on. So the netball family have opened up their doors, facility providers have opened up their doors, and yeah, you can pop in your postcode and find a session that on your doorstep at the time that works for you.
That's just online at englandnetball.co.uk.
That's right, yeah.
And you'll be wanting maybe not just those people that play it regularly, but new people to the game and just
That's what it's really about. We know that 130,000 new people started playing, or current netball families started playing more after the Commonwealth Games final. And we want to do that again. And what was really great last year is the netball family said, come on, they dragged their friends along that haven't played netball. And that's why we saw that growth. Probably about 21% growth we reckon we had in participation over the last 12 months alone. And that's thanks to the netball family saying, look at our great sport, come along and enjoy it with us.
And there was wins for South Africa, England and Scotland. So why don't we hear what the players thought?
Well, I'm really glad that we won. I'm just really like, it's cool. I'm glad that the ice has been broken.
Yeah.
I mean, I shot balls missed that I would never actually shoot miss, but I think that's just like first game nerves, and like now everything's fine. Like, ice is broken, so from now on I'm just gonna like be solid again. But I'm really proud of the team. We have a few things we can work on, but it's good. Just build and build from game to game until take each game as on a new day, and just try to come out as strong as possible.
Had you seen the stats? You were 89%.
Was I? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I shot very many misses. Okay,
thank
you.
That's what it says.
Thank you very much. I was thinking it's like 50.
Not 89%, so.
Okay. No, it's going to be 98 tomorrow.
A bit better. Right, very good. We can deal with that.
Thank you, Andy.
Oh, it was amazing. I think for us, it's always nice to get back together and really play some netball together. We don't get much time. Most of the girls are scattered everywhere. And it's only in events like this that we get to play with each other. So I thought, amazing start. We're all excited. And obviously, everyone is healthy and no injuries, which is really good. We're always happy to be together. And yeah.
Yep. And your personal performance, you had 31 goal assists, by far the most out of anyone on the court.
Mm.
What have you been doing to improve your game and those connections with your shooters?
I think at this point, even with Norma, I work really hard on just being calm in my game and really thinking on what I'm doing. And I thought today didn't really start well, but at some point I could feel that this is exactly what I've been training on, and it's nice to work on things and then see them coming on the court, obviously, when you're playing. So I think it's just enjoying what I'm doing and using the speed when I need to and being calm when I need to be calm. So like thinking during the game.
Yep. Plenty of home support as well, which is always good for you.
Oh, it was amazing. There's a lot of people from South Africa coming here to support us, and obviously most of us play here in the Vitality Netball Super League, which is amazing. I've got lots of friends and obviously host families here supporting us. I think obviously England has always this amazing vibe in netball, so it's always great to play here.
And really glad that game one's out of the way and just looking forward to the next.
Exactly. It's always nice to get that breath or, you know, the nerves going. I feel like today we got that chance to just step on court and really get easy into the things and see how everything is going to go throughout the tournament. Obviously, can't really sit back and just keep on enjoying this. We've got to bag it off now and really focus on the next one.
Exciting game and just glad to get out of the way.
Yeah, I think a lot of pressure on the first match, and we had some good run-ins last week against Wales, but the pressure is a bit different when you come into the World Cup arena. So great to get that first one on the board. I think we put up a good performance.
Easy to say, but is there still a bit of nerves, no matter what side you're at this kind of level of the game?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's different every game you go out for your country. You need to have that butterflies, you need to have that excitement and nervousness, and that's the passion in your heart, and if you don't play with that, then you shouldn't be playing.
Strong support though?
Yes, plenty of supporters. We've had so many South Africans come over, and even English based people that are just supporting us, and I think the whole English community is just so passionate about netball. They're just loving having the teams here, and we feel that love from everyone around.
Did you do lots of touristy things then before it started?
No, we haven't. We've just been focusing on actually training and stuff. But we get out of the hotel, don't worry about that. We love coffee, so we're trying every cafe in Liverpool. But otherwise, we're just focusing on we're here to perform to the best of our ability, and hopefully get a few wins more.
Will you be ready after the performance like that and just pushing forwards into the next game?
Yes, definitely. I think we will be pretty stoked about what we put out there today, but obviously we still want to improve on certain aspects of the game, and we'll debrief and then look to improve on that when we play Fiji tomorrow.
We've asked Kate to give her views on the England games as well. So what did she make of England's opening match?
Hi to all the listeners of The Netball Show. I'm Kate Cornish, and here is my Aussie recap of the England and Uganda game. A few things caught my eye this match. Firstly, how incredibly slick the Roses look all over court. Housby and Harton were absolutely lethal, and Pittman's vision into her shooters was beautiful to watch. Jeeva Mentor was incredible. I've actually run out of superlatives for that woman. She was incredible tonight, and she wasn't playing against an easy beat either. She was up against Peace Prascovia, but somehow she just made it look incredibly simple. Secondly, the importance of the stories throughout this World Cup. The Ugandan team is fast and skilled, but the stories behind these players are even more impressive. So if you don't know much about the Ugandan netball team, I urge you to do some research into what these players have sacrificed to compete. It's really quite incredible. Peace Praskovia is a wonderful and inspiring story, so she's certainly worth looking into. And I think these are the sort of stories that make this World Cup so incredibly special. The third thing that caught my eye was the umpires. I believe it was two Aussie umpires in charge of the game, and I felt like it was really whistle-heavy. There were cautions and warnings being thrown about all over court, mainly to the Ugandan team. Uganda actually had their centre bench for 2 minutes earlier in the game, and then into the fourth quarter, that same player was benched for the rest of the match. I'm not really sure it was warranted, but that's another story. My point is the standard that these Aussie umpires play to will definitely suit England. It certainly did today. While there was a lot of whistle on court, I didn't feel like much was going against England, and that's because a lot of the players in the England team play in the SNN every week, so they know how to play to these umpires. So if they can manage to get some Aussie umpires throughout the tournament, I think it'll be really beneficial to them. I was also really keen to see what England's bench could do. We know that their starting seven is first class, and tonight we got to see young star Fran Williams and Rachel Dunn injected, which was great, and I was really ecstatic to see Nat Hathornwaite on court. And when their bench came on, the Roses really didn't miss a beat. Nat, of course, has been out with a hamstring injury, and we haven't seen her play a single game of Suncorp Super Netball with the Swifts so far this season, so it was so good to see her back on court. And there was also a debutante in Nat Panigari who made her appearance on court, so congratulations to her too. She had a great game for the time she was on. The last 15 minutes of the game was really broken and wasn't great to watch. As I mentioned, the umpire sent the Ugandan centre to the bench for the rest of the game, and that had probably about 10 minutes to go, but the damage had certainly already been done by the Roses. In summary, it was a game that was really whistle-heavy, but the Roses certainly are the real deal in this tournament, in my opinion. Their combinations look sharper than what I saw the Diamonds play in their round one match, and the Roses bench is really solid, and this home crown advantage can't be underestimated, that is for sure. If I had an MVP for the match, it would have been Helen Housby. In the first quarter, when she decided that a two-goal buffer wasn't enough and she lifted her intensity, so did the rest of her team. So congratulations to the Roses with round one done and dusted. You look great, and I can't wait for your round two match.
Girls 100.
Oh, you know, when you talk about coming in coaching a role and you have such a world-class player like Jo Harton to coach every single day, it's a coach's dream. And, you know, today she's thoroughly deserved every single one of them hundreds. I said to her today, I want 100 shots and I want 100 movements. I don't think she actually quite achieved that. However, I'm sure she'll persist to do that. And hopefully she'll get one of them level one coaches, a job that Vitality are doing.
And at the other end of the scale, you've got Fran getting her first World Cup debut.
And Nat Panigari.
What's it like managing a squad with such a varied experience?
I think one of the key things coming into every World Cup competition was it's not just about having those who have been there, it's about mixing that youth and an inexperience, because people who know don't bring that energy. And I think what Fran did today, and Nat Panigari and even Nat Hathornwaite, that was her first World Cup, they brought energy to the court, they brought a little bit of life, they brought some legs. And I think that youthlessness, that inexperience, what they did is they have no expectation, they just go out there and enjoy it. And you saw that thoroughly in the way they played.
Entertaining game, you think?
Yes, very entertaining, probably for the crowd, not so much us at times, but no, we're really proud of the win and to get a convincing scoreline in the end after grinding out that first couple of quarters.
What was it like having the other game on the other court? Did you notice that, or can you physically shut
it? You didn't notice in terms of whistle or anything like that. I think it just built to the atmosphere. I thought the atmosphere was absolutely fantastic in there, and we're really proud to be taking part in this event.
It was nice to see as well, maybe from half time as well, but you just found that extra little bit of kick and
we kind of knew it was an unexpected lineup. We're from Samoa, so we weren't quite sure what they were going to bring in that first couple of quarters, but we had strong belief that over the four quarters we were going to be the better side.
And they were pretty strong, weren't they? They gave you a game.
Yeah, no, they were strong. I think they're going to have a good tournament. Physically, they're also very strong as well as on the ball. So, no, I think they're going to have a fantastic tournament, and all the best to them in the rest of their games.
Nice that Emma got her first cap.
Emma Barry got her first cap, so absolutely delighted for her at such a young age of 17. I thought she came on and did an excellent job.
She'll be catching you up soon, won't she?
I know, well, she's almost half my age, which is a bit worrying. She's a superstar in the making, I'm just really proud of her.
England tomorrow?
Yeah, England. We're used to facing them, so it'll be nothing new for us. Just change our game plan slightly going up against them, but we're looking forward to it.
And that was only day one. Same time tomorrow?
It's a massive honour. When I started playing netball for England, I never thought that I would have the privilege of leading an England team.
We're really excited to have another pinnacle event in the UK for our sport, and our sport's only going to grow from having it on our home turf.
We want to be playing on the world stage, and we want to be playing against the world's best, so we'll go in without any fear and really, really looking forward to that battle.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.